Good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk. We have returned after a summer break. Looking forward to the 2023 football season and sports season at Hardin County High School and, of course, SEC play. And that's why we come together on these Saturday mornings. We'll talk Tiger football. We'll talk SEC football as we work our way throughout this sports season. Last night, we got a little preview of the Hardin County Tigers at the Jamboree in the Jungle. A huge crowd last night. We'll talk to Coach Smith about what he saw last night. The middle school Tigers were in play, the freshman Tigers, JV Tigers, and then the varsity Tigers wrapped it up last night at Jim Carroll Stadium. Also, we'll talk about the season ahead. As the schedule has changed, our district has changed a little bit. We've got some new teams on the schedule. Not really new teams as far as teams that we played before. But, Kirk, I'll bring you in. You're talking about a beefed-up schedule. We got one this year. You know, Coach Smith has always talked about playing, you know, the better teams and getting it scheduled. And hopefully that'll help this team get further in the playoffs, and he's done that with a couple of teams that he's brought in with Haywood and Giles County, just to say two of them.
It's a good idea. I mean, most of your better football teams play better schedules. They one of it, though, is as you get better, it gets harder for teams to schedule. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have been on our schedule for years, and we've beaten them regularly, and they really don't win anymore. Right? I mean, so – some of it is by design, I think. Some of it's by necessity. I mean, you have people that fall off the schedule because they just won't play. You know, we've heard of teams like Panola, Mississippi, having to go to Alabama, Arkansas, places like that to play some of the best teams in those states because they can't get a schedule at home.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll go through that, and we'll take a look back at last year's season for just a minute, and then bring Coach Smith in, and we'll talk to him about the Tigers this summer and what he expects moving into the 2023 season. Last night, we streamed all the games last night. It was kind of an impromptu stream, and a play-by-play, Bob Atkinson was up there with me, and he acted like he kept holding the headphones. So I said, well, let's just go on the air. And so that's what we did last night on the stream part of it. So you can go back on YouTube, Slice 93, and watch some of the contests last night. And then, of course, as always, we'll be on each and every Friday night starting at 6:30 with our pregame show, kickoff time 7 p.m. You can catch everything on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, the WKWX app, and, of course, streaming live on YouTube channel Slice 93. So looking forward to that. So let's take a time out. Let's hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, Coach Matthew Smith will join us, and we'll talk some Tiger football. We'll be back right after this.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Welcome back to, Welcome back to Sports Talk. I don't even know where that came from. You know, I say stuff, Kurt, that doesn't make sense a lot of times. I mean, you of all people know that's sitting in here. So
we try to point it out, you know, when you do.
Yeah.
It's fun to point it out to you when you mumble.
Well, I don't even know where it comes from. That's the thing. It just comes out.
Well,
No filter.
You're not getting younger either. You're probably going to – it's probably going to get worse.
It's going to be real fun is what it's going to be. But let's bring in Coach Matthew Smith of the Hardin County Tigers. And, Matthew, thanks for being here after a long night last night, but I think from your perspective of the crowd, and McNary brought a big crowd as well, and everything that you had to undertake to go through last night should have been a success, because a big crowd on hand for the Jamboree.
Yeah, it certainly was. And, you know, I think we started that about 5-6 years ago, maybe, where we do Jamborees like that. And it's been a really good thing, because, you know, my deal is we want to try to get every kid in Hardin County that plays football out there to play in front of the crowd on a Friday night. And we worked back and forth, middle school, Silmer Middle wasn't going to come, and because they had a game on Thursday night, but that game got rained out, so they decided to come. So they didn't have much time to prepare for that game, because I think I called them Thursday morning and said, you know, that they're going to play. And they got an opportunity to get out there, and then we get our freshmen, JV and varsity, all those guys get to play. So it was a good night.
Well, we were talking about last night during the game of how the Jamborees used to be, and I was going to ask you that question of going to this format. I know that several years ago, and you may have played in it, and Kirk, too. I don't know how far back Kirk goes back a ways. But
they had Jamborees back then.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't. They had leather helmets. I do know that. But
we got face masks, man.
Oh, you got your senior year, you got face masks. Yeah. Well, that's good. So, anyway, you know, like Huntington was the place to go, and you had all these teams, and then Chester County became the place to go. So, this format that you have, that's what we were talking about. You get to see more kids. You get to see kids that you don't normally see, I guess, at the middle school level, and get more reps in for everybody instead of just going somewhere and playing two quarters and hanging around till the end of the night.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, of course, and when I first became the head coach, we were still doing it at Chester County, and that one kind of went away for whatever reason. I can't remember why they decided not to do it, and so we kind of switched this format, and us and McNary had kind of done it first, and then when they came in the region, we did it with Scotts Hill a couple years, but a lot of teams around us are doing that format now, and I think it's a, you know, good thing to get as many kids out there and get them reps on a Friday night. And you know, Friday night atmosphere is different for them from scrimmages and practices, and when the crowd gets there and the lights come on, you see eyes get bigger and nerves set in, and that's part of playing football. They got to learn to overcome that anxiety and be able to execute, and so it was a good experience for us last night.
I'll tell you what, Kurt, something was funny last night watching, like, the middle school was out there, and then the freshmen come in, then all the middle school kids, you know, they look up like they're giants, and then the freshman, the JV team comes in, and they're looking at them, and then here comes the varsity kids, and everybody's just like going, "Yeah!" They just keep getting bigger and bigger as they come. But last year, Matthew, just to go back just a minute before Kirk has his questions, finished 7-4 overall, 6-3 in the regular season. We lost the game with Pure Academy. We didn't play that one; it was canceled. 4-1 overall in the district, and then went out in round two to Pearl Cone. So last year's team, a very good team. You lost a lot of key position players off that team, but I think in looking at our roster, we got a lot of kids to jump in those spots that's played a lot of football as well.
We do, and you know, again, I think it goes back to we've been able to develop kids and rotate kids in there, and you know, a lot of guys that may have not been technically or quote starters, but played a lot of football for us. And so we've got some experience coming back. We've got some new key positions out there that were out there in front of the crowd the first time. I had a little nerves last night, but kind of settled in and then made some plays toward the end of it. So, you know, I feel good. I feel good with the way these kids have worked, and the team has kind of developed and come together in the off season. We've had two tough preseason scrimmages against two very good teams, I think are going to be good teams, and Riverside, the first one that was, you know, went to state championship last year, had pretty much everybody coming back. I think lost one starter off that team. So that was a good first scrimmage. And then Lawrence County has 25 seniors this year on their team. And wing tees, you don't see it all the time, so that's always tough. But it was a good scrimmage up there. And then kind of concluded the preseason with the Jamboree last night.
Well, one of the questions that I've got that been on my mind, and exactly how Steve and I, every Saturday morning on Sports Talk, we come in here to talk to you, and your son's a quarterback. And I just want to know, before we get started, how far I can push you on the quarterback play. And as far as, like, well, he fumbled on the one, you know, he fumbled that snap. What are you going to do to fix that, you know, when I'm talking about your son? Or do we need to just, like, say the quarterback instead of saying Carter's name?
I promise you, I'm a lot harder on him than you'll ever be.
I bet that's the truth, too.
So, you say whatever you ask.
He has to live with him and go home with him.
Yeah, I know. Carter probably be spending the night at a lot of his friends' houses on Friday night if we lose the ball game. He's like, oh, I'll see y'all tomorrow. I was getting tickled because – I've watched, you know, college coaches that have sons that are playing, and it's always like the people that are interviewing them tiptoe around the quarterback play or whoever their son is, you know, especially if they make a mistake in the game. They'll defer to other conversations beside that. But I thought your team last night, getting back to football, your team speed looked really good across the board. Thought you guys a lot of good play. This team should, based on experience, especially the quarterback position. Carter, he's coming into his own. I mean, the boy can play. And I noticed, like, London, some of the receivers, you got Heyman, they got great experience, so they ought to have great chemistry. As far as the offensive side of the ball, you ought to be pretty excited about what they can do.
Well, I think we've had, you know, in the preseason, we've looked pretty crisp offensively. Last night, I thought – ran the ball pretty well. You know, our offensive line has really kind of developed. Got some new guys, got three new guys up there and two guys that have returned that have played a lot of football for us. But we've had a good off season. We're big, strong, can move a little bit up there and seem to have a pretty good understanding and be able to make adjustments up there. You know, that's – where a lot of the game is making adjustments in the offensive line and how much they can pick up and do things. But we've been able to do that throughout the preseason, and they've been pretty physical. And Coach Seton's done a nice job continuing to develop those guys. But I thought the running game was pretty good. I'd like to have been a little more crisp in the passing game last night. Didn't throw it but six times. But, you know, and we talked about it all week. We were going to take a shot early on, and he's always a little amped up at the first of a game and kind of missed it, overthrew it a little bit. But and then had some balls in hands that we should have caught too and didn't come down with. And had two good touchdown plays in the throwing game. So a lot of positives to take away from last night.
Well, and another thing too that's always been – it seems like it becomes part of the discussion about high school football. And especially this team, I can just think of times that trying to prevent teams from getting the edge on us and getting out into space and using their speed, especially when you play teams from Memphis, teams that have really good athletic speed. It seems like you're always trying to scramble to find a way to stop them from getting on the edge and getting big yard play. But last night, they like running the little option play, and their quarterback had really good speed. And they hit us on one play, I think it was about a 40-yard run, and we got him out of bounds before they scored. But you're talking about making those adjustments. It really looked like, because as the game went on, you completely – dominate them on the defensive front, and they couldn't get the edge at all on you.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job controlling the line of scrimmage. You know, that play, and we had a couple last night, one at the free, and then that play, we kind of peaked on the dive. The quarterback player did a little bit, got out of position, lost his leverage. Their blocker got him kind of sealed and was out the gate for that big game that they had. But, you know, overall, other than those couple of plays defensively, I thought we flew around good, pursued the ball well. Thought our defensive ends, Charles Derman in particular, he made a lot of plays last night. Carter Pigg, Owen Roberts at that position made some plays, which are all new faces for us on that side, on the defensive side of the ball. Linebackers, for the most part, did some things well. And I think, you know, Adam has worked in the off season. He's actually dropped some weight from last year, and I think he moves better, holds up better. And I thought he had a big game last night.
All right, you listen to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be back with Coach Smith. We'll talk some more Tiger football. Also coming up a little bit later on, Kendall Atkinson will join me and Kirk. He went to Memphis. We'll talk some golf with him. And also maybe hopefully before we get off there, we'll get in some SEC stuff. We'll take a look at Hardin County's schedule too coming up and some of the teams that we'll be playing and get Coach Smith's perspective on – on those team and this season ahead. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell along with Kirk Carroll and Coach Matthew Smith and Kendall Atkinson over here beside us. He's itching to get on the microphone here before we get off the air. But we're talking Hardin County football, getting ready for the 2023 season. It starts next week at Jim Carroll Stadium. NBA out of Memphis will be in town. The lineup for that, of course, our Tiger tailgate party at 5 p.m., Tiger Walk at 5:55, our Central Bank pregame show at 6:30, and then we'll get you set for the kickoff at 7 p.m. right here on 93.5 FM. Talking with Matthew Smith, and Matthew, long, hot summer for you guys and leading up to, you know, kind of the end of scrimmages and practices that you've been going through since summer. But kind of just give us an assessment a little bit of your feelings going into this season, what you've seen so far.
Well, you know, I think the kids, like I said earlier, have worked hard. We had a good period in June. Skill guys throwing the ball, linemen working in the weight room, continuing to develop. We took them over to Memphis, did a 7-on-7 camp over there. Saw a lot of good athletes over there. Played pretty well in that. So that's always a good time. TWSWA lets us compete twice in June now. To go out and compete against somebody else in the throw-in deal. And we hosted one the last Thursday before the dead period. Had the dead period, came back, and basically had 1 week of it, and then you're in shells, and then it's camp, and we're rolling. So stayed pretty healthy overall through it. Like I say, had two tough scrimmages early on where our kids had to battle, which is a good thing to see. I like those scrimmages where there's a lot of intensity, there's a lot of battle in there, and both Riverside and Lawrence County were certainly that, and thought our kids did well in those, and certainly had things to coach and fix, but played well. And then last night you kind of do the jamboree to get that trial run to get out under the lights and kind of take those first game jitters away, and was pleased with that. And then, like you say, it's the regular season now, and Memphis Business Academy coming in next week.
So, like last night, for instance, with your varsity team, do you bring everybody in and kind of go through the routine that you'll do every Friday? You come in early and do the things that y'all normally do?
No, it's not exactly like real Friday per se. It's especially with the way that it's broken down, and you know where coaches have to be, and dividing the rosters up, and all those kinds of things. Of course, you know we started with the middle school. I'd gone out for that, and then the freshmen with a couple coaches were warming up on the practice field. They come to the stadium. JV goes and warms up when they come, and Had a couple coaches there, and then when the JV comes, the varsity goes. So it's not like a normal Friday. We let them leave at 3. You know, we get them at 1:30, last block of the day as far as school goes, and we have meetings with them, kind of set everything up and go over the rosters, how the personnel is going to be broken down, who's playing what reps, and, you know, those kinds of things. But it's not necessarily like a normal Friday, but we try to make it as close as we can.
Me and Kurt's talked a lot last few weeks, especially leading up to today, this morning. And I was telling Kurt that you made some changes with some personnel. You know, Jack Gray, primarily offense last year, you flipped him to corner this year on the defensive side. And really Cam Heyman was on the receiver side last year more so, and you've got him playing more defense. And then you've actually had to move him to help Saunders some at the tailback spot. So some of these changes, and then Wes Blankenship on the other side. You know, Wes primarily was a defensive player last year. Now he's on the offensive side. So, you know, I guess it out of necessity or just something that you saw that you needed to do to help your defensive out more or what?
Well, it really came down to, you know, Jack battled through some injuries in the off season and just in our throwing. You know, to me, throwing the football and running routes and developing that timing and that relationship takes a lot of practice, and you know, hopefully can develop that consistency. And Jack was down for a while, and Jack's a very good player, smart player. He's still going to play some receiver for us, but again, lost some guys in the secondary from last year's team, and Jack has a lot of experience and played extremely well last night, did some good things for us. And Cam kind of the same way. You know, Cam's one of those tweener kind of guys that can he can do a lot of different things for you. A great athlete, great strength, got really good quickness, good fast twitch guy. But he's got certainly some running back skills. But in our offensive system, in our scheme, we can split those guys out, you know. He plays running back, but you saw him on the touchdown catch. He was the wide guy last night on that. So we've got tags where we can split those guys out at receiver. Him and Jake both have really progressed in being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's certainly a good weapon for us.
That's probably one of your biggest challenges, and probably what makes really good coaches is being able to fit kids, their athletic ability to their personalities and what positions in, where are they going to be able to, you know, thrive. Steve, you'll remember that Cowboys tight end played Tennessee.
Whitten.
Yeah, Whitten. Whitten almost left Tennessee because they moved him from defensive end to tight end. And, I mean, he was just before transferring and trying to leave because – he wanted to be a defensive end.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, after leading the NFL and catches as a tight end and having that long career, he'll say now that, you know, they found the right spot. It's kind of hard on you, especially like you're talking about Kamen, I think. The more athletically inclined, the harder it is to find the fit because they can play so many different positions.
Well, and you know, like I say, Cam's played a ton of football for us. He's grown up playing football through the Pee Wee League, Junior Pro. He's got great athletic ability. And like you say, we want to – and what I told him, you know, at receiver, he averaged 3.5 touches a game last year. Our running backs averaged about 12 touches. So that was an easy sale.
Right.
He lit up when
right.
when
hands on the football.
Yeah, you get the ball a little bit more. So, but he can do a lot of things. You know, he's still going to line up at receiver quite a bit, be at running back. And you know, Jake has progressed a ton in the offseason. They moved in here. It was late in the summer last year when we got him. But he's got a really good amount of quickness, sees the hole well. Make some good cuts. Had a good run last night there on a counter play for a touchdown. but the thing about it is, and really we've done this the last, you know, 6-7 years where we've rotated the running backs. I think John Whitley was one that we didn't kind of, right. he got a lot of carries, but he was a bigger back. And we just feel with the pounding of the football that we play at the level that we play, you need to have two good running backs that you can rotate in there. And we feel like we do with Jake and Cam.
You know, Kirk, we talked about the size of offensive line, defensive line. I mean, you know, the last 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, we've had some beef up there, and this year's no different. And you know, we were looking at the roster last night. You know, you got anywhere from 280 to 330-pound guys up front that are, you know, 6'1 to 6'3, 6'4.
Vitamins.
Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable that the size.
They got better vitamins now than we used to have.
I mean, just huge, you know, in high school football, when you got that kind of size up front, it makes a huge difference of what you can do. Of course, makes it a little tougher, I guess, for them to move at that age, too. They're trying to catch up with their bodies and their brains.
Well, and you know, I think the guys that we have, they've really progressed. You know, we got two juniors there. Garrett Sipes has really developed for us. You know, he's a guy that didn't even play football in middle school. He played more on the basketball team, but he certainly has grown into the right tackle position and has done an outstanding job this all season season and developing for us. We've got Murphy at the right guard, who's just a sophomore, and you know, he's 6 foot, 300 pounds, and has developed as well. Wade Van Hoos at center, who we kind of moved him from left tackle. He's always played left tackle for us, but we moved him to center, and he's kind of the leader of that group. And as I said, played a lot of ball. We moved Bailey Huggins, who had moved in last year from right guard to left tackle. He's dropped some weight to, like you say, about 320, gotten stronger and better movement in the offseason. And then Brenton Ward at left guard, who's a junior, has continued to get better and better. Hopefully we'll get Reed Head back some, who started for us quite a bit at the end of the year last year, had a ACL in the offseason, and he should be cleared around the 1st of September to get back with us. He looks good, and we'd be excited to get him back to get in the rotation there as well. Townley is another kid that Cooper Townley has played well for us too. So we feel like we got some good depth there, and those kids have continued to develop.
All right, let's take a one last time out, and I know you got to run. You got a camp to go to out there at Hardin County High School. I want to look at the schedule real quick. Let's take a short break. We'll be back with more with Coach Smith. It's Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, talking with Coach Matthew Smith. And, Coach, before you get out of here, I know you need to go real quick, but I wanted to look at our schedule, and it's changed quite a bit. We've got a couple of new teams in the region, but we start off with Memphis Business Academy. They were 2-8 last year, and then follow them with Giles County. They lost in the semifinals to Alcoa last year. Their season was 10-4. South Gibson, a new team in the region, 7-5 last year. Memphis East, coming into town, an old foe. And then we'll go on the road to Jackson Northside. They had a struggle last year. Pure Academy will be in here at Chester County, a region game. Haywood coming to town, outstanding team from last year, 13-1, lost to Pearl Cone in the semis. And then we'll go to Jackson Southside and then wrap it up here with Lexington. But Giles County, Haywood back on the schedule. South Gibson coming in, a team that probably a lot of people don't know about around here. And so, and of course, Memphis East coming into town, they used to be a powerhouse over in that area.
Yeah, I mean, different schedule this year. Obviously, couldn't get games. And scheduling for high school football is it's a nightmare, really. I mean, it's, you know, calling around. There's not a lot of honesty in it. So everybody's trying to get the games that they want. But, you know, I feel like we got a good schedule. Got a couple teams we hadn't seen in a while, such as Memphis East. Used to play them in the playoffs all the time. They're going to be coming. Memphis Business Academy, don't know a lot about them. Even though we play them next week, they don't have a lot of film on them. So it's going to be a struggle to get ready, and there'll be some challenges there. Giles County, we know, is going to be a very good football team. I mean, they're a deep-run playoff team every year. Have had a strong program in the state of Tennessee and high school football, so going to be a very good team there week two. South Gibson's going to be good. They had a good year last year. Got a big-time player, I think, committed to an SEC program, and going to be a good football team. I tell you one on the schedule, Jackson Northside, seen a little film on them. Coach Woodrow Lowe has taken over there in the offseason, and they've got a bunch of players out, got a bunch of good athletes. Beat Haywood last night in the Jamboree 32-7. So if that tells you anything about the way Northside's going to be. And, you know, Haywood's gone through some issues. They had their coach leave late, quarterback left, transferred to Germantown. So don't know you know, know that they'll be good in athletic. I mean, they're a traditional power, certainly, but have had some struggles in the preseason that we've heard about. But our district is going to be, you know, ramped up from what it was last year. You lose McNair, you lose Liberty, you add South Gibson and Northside back in the district. So it's going to be a dogfight this year in the district. And have certainly added some good non-district teams as well.
Yeah, you know, and we lost some good games from the last previous couple of years. Of course, we lost Adamsville this year, but USJ, that was, you know, a pretty good contest the last couple of years. And then also Milan. I was really enjoying the Milan. That was becoming kind of a rivalry type game. You know, they look forward playing us and we look forward playing them, and a great place to go over there and do a ball game as well.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I hate that we couldn't get the schedule where, you know, they dropped in the reclassification. They went from 4A all the way down to 2A in the reclassification. So they're in the district with Adamsville and those guys now. But I thought we had a good run with them in a 4-year cycle. You know, we split 2-2, and there were good football games to watch with Milan. And like you said, USJ was certainly a deep run playoff team too, and a good battle with them for the 2-year cycle in that schedule. So you know, new people on there to prepare for, get ready for, but excited about the schedule and look forward to it.
All right, it'll be Friday night, kickoff time 7 p.m. at Jim Carroll Stadium. The Tiger tailgate party at 5, Tiger walk at 5:55. Tiger pregame show right here on 93.5 FM at 6:30. And then we're off and running as Memphis Business Academy will be in town. And Matthew, I appreciate you coming in. I know you got to run. You got some things to do out there at the high school. But look forward to the season. Look forward to breaking down a game next week. And we'll do this each and every Saturday.
I got nothing else. I'm just excited to watch it all.
Yep. All right. Appreciate it, Matthew. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll take a look at the SEC schedule. We'll bring Kendall in here. He was over in Memphis yesterday. We'll get a little report from the FedEx tournament over there. And then we got to get out of here on this Saturday morning. Don't go anywhere. You listen to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM.
I got my ball.
Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time, but we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Well, there's a reason everybody should be shaking in the house tonight. And you should grab your favorite lady and promise her you'll do it right. Tell Fat Jack to jump back and give you a shot of some booze. Stomp down, but bump and rock and roll, rhythm and blues.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. And Kurt's got a show going on his own over there with Kendall. I mean, right in the middle of my show. What are you doing?
Well, it's just an analogy.
Oh, let me turn you up here. Let's bring Kendall Atkinson in. We sent Kendall over to Memphis yesterday to get a report on the FedEx. That's just what we do here at 93.5 FM. He seemed like a perfect candidate to go. But before we get to that, let's take a look at the Tennessee schedule. Of course, our Sports Saturday starts with Coach to Coach with Doug Matthews and Dave McGinnis. They'll break down the SEC each and every week, break down games, and then break down the Tennessee game in depth. So be sure to tune in for that at 8, us at 9, and then Tennessee football will be on each and every Saturday as well. The Vols open up September the 2nd in Nashville against Virginia. And then a great day, September the 9th, Austin Peay in Knoxville. That's my birthday, so I hope we can get a win there. And then go to Florida on the 16th, UT San Antonio on the 23rd, South Carolina. Then we have an open date. Then Texas A&M, get a big run here. Texas A&M at Alabama, at Kentucky, UConn in the middle of all that, at Missouri, and then Georgia on the 18th, and then Vandy. So a lot of hype, so to speak, for UT and Tennessee and Joe Milton and some of the recruits. It's been a heck of a recruiting season for them as well, Kirk.
Yeah, they're recruiting at a new level, especially since that NCAA investigation is over and they're not going to get any – postseason play ban, so they can recruit now and say, hey, this is over, and other teams can't use that against them when they recruit. I'm sure there's nobody else in the SEC that would tell a recruit that he wasn't going to get to go to a bowl game if he signed with Tennessee. They don't have to deal with that anymore. So high level of, I think they're in the top 10. I think they're number 9 rated right now as far as – and they've still got their aim at several 5-star and 4-star guys. So, yeah, I mean, it's a different deal up there now. I mean, the enthusiasm hadn't been like this in 15 years.
I was listening to a sports show up there, Kendall, the other day, and they were talking about some of the great linebackers at UT, and then they're starting to compare this linebacker group that's been recruited, and then the ones that are back, of course, Beasley's back, to some of the greats. And that's something we've missed, too.
It's always been a focal point, I think, of our defense when you think about past teams and what we're remembered by. It's always been real physical linebacker play. And now you got a very veteran leader in Beasley. You get the transfer from BYU, who's expected to be another veteran-type guy, and then you get – you know, you see all the photos circulating about the Carter, the incoming freshman, and he, dare I say, he looks better than those two veterans that are going to be up there, which is going to be real important for him and his growth and getting his feet wet right off the bat. Because, I mean, we start the season with two pretty favorable matchups. I think Virginia is projected to be last in the ACC and then Austin Peay, but then we hit a pretty rough six-week slate there that's going to be testing.
Well, I think the key to it is Joe Milton, and, of course, he looked good against Clemson, and, you know, the thing is Clemson didn't have all their defensive players. They had two key players out, but are you sold on him, not sold on him? Is he the guy for the job, or is Nico going to take over somewhere during the season? I hope that doesn't happen, because if that happens, that means we've lost a couple of games somewhere down the road.
Yeah, and it's a quarterback-driven system. I mean, they're college turning into pros. And Milton, you know, we were at the Orange Bowl and got to see him in person, and he ran the offense. I'll tell you something else about him, too, is that people don't realize. He's like 6'4", 230. I mean, he's a big – I mean, he looks like a defensive end, you know, in a uniform. And – He's an effective runner. I think he'll be able to run, especially design run plays for him, because like in that ball game, I think they had they had three quarterback sweeps, basically the old student body left and with him running the ball. And it was 7 to 15 yards every time, you know, he ran the ball. So I think they've got some options with him using his feet. That Hooker was more like a surprise runner, you know, he, out of the zone read if it was there. And he was kind of shifty. But, I mean, he's a long, thin, lightweight runner. Milton's going to be a load.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the season. That starts on the 2nd of September right here on 93.5 FM. Of course, kickoff next week at 7 p.m. NBA is in town. We'll kick off Hardin County football real quick. Kendall, before we got it, we got to get out of here. Us three especially, we got somewhere to be. But you went over to the FedEx tournament, got to see Rory and some other guys, and you were telling me about Rory. You said you couldn't believe how small he was.
Yeah, but, he's not. He's
but he can hit it about 400 yards.
He's very strong. That always, you know.
Since he's like you, Kendall, on steroids.
Yeah.
You leave me out of this. Don't put me up against him. It's always fun because, when my sports career had ended, I'd always been intrigued by golf and really wanted to get into it. And going over there, it's very humbling, but at the same time, it's you have your mouth open the entire time because you're like, how in the world are
The only thing that I noticed, I watched a little bit of that golf tournament, and Lucas Glover, who was leading the tournament, he looked like he had been in a swimming pool.
It's one of the hottest afternoons
yesterday was awful. I mean,
it was no breeze.
But that poor guy, I mean, he bent over to putt, and his pants were just like a different color than his cuffs on his pants were the only spot that looked dry on him.
Well, the key question is, and it was posted to us by an old friend of ours, if you had $100,000 and all you had to do is hit golf balls and practice,
we'd all be on tour, wouldn't we?
Could you be on the pro?
Well, it's funny because me and my brother were sitting there yesterday, and we said, you know, if we didn't know of their status, like that they were on the PGA Tour, and you ran into them somewhere, like, let's just say, the mall, you would have no clue who that individual was.
What sport do you think John Daly would – didn't know John Daly was a golfer –
gambling.
And you saw him at the mall. What would you think his sport was?
He'd be some kind of DraftKings rep, I'm sure.
he'd be into curling.
But it is neat because all the, you know, there's guys out there that you're like, you know, you compare them to like a Latrell Bumpus. If Latrell comes in, you're like, man, this guy's huge. But you see some of them and you're like, how can they hit the ball that far?
Yeah, I'll tell you something that I really do believe that. You can look at your three major sports, football, baseball, basketball, and you take a really good athletic kid that played high school and maybe some college ball and put him on a football team, and he wouldn't really stand out as being awful. Or you could put him, if he's a really good high school basketball player, he would look on the court with pros. He wouldn't be as good, and you would know that, but he still wouldn't look like a fool. But you put like us or just an average Joe with these professional golfers, we look like fools out there.
I'm fixing to teach you both a lesson here in about an hour, so prepare yourself.
Yeah, I've seen that lesson before.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be back next Saturday at 9 a.m. with Coach Smith. We'll be talking Tiger football as we start our season next week right here on 93.5 FM. Have a great Saturday, and thanks to Kristen over at the station, and we'll be here for you each and every Saturday. Have a great Saturday. Enjoy your weekend. See you next week.